Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. In General Conference in October of 2019, President Dallin H. Oaks, first counselor in the first presidency, gave a talk titled Trust in the Lord. The subtitle, as it appeared in the Ensign magazine in November of 2019, said, "For our only sure reliance is to trust in the Lord and His love for His children." Having trust in the Lord is certainly not a phrase that has never been used by evangelical Christians, that's for sure. I mean, that's a phrase that comes right out of the Bible, and definitely we should trust in the Lord. But what does it mean when a Latter-day Saint leader uses that expression? Because it comes with a little bit more of a nuance. Wouldn't you agree, Eric, that when a Latter-day Saint leader says to trust in the Lord, that comes complete with the fact that because Mormons believe the Lord appointed these leaders, such as Dallin Oaks, that would mean also that you should be trusting them as well because the Lord appointed them to lead the church.
Yes, I think the idea of how do you trust in the Lord? And in Mormonism, trusting in the Lord requires these leaders who are from the restored church and officially are able to tell you what you need to do, including baptism, going to the temple, and all the other things required to be able to get to the very best that this religion has to offer, which they call the celestial kingdom. But if you look at the way that Christians view the how, it's much different, because any cites in here, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, many Christians have memorized that as well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And so when it says not to lean on your own understanding, it's not based on anything that you come up with, but it's based on God's Word. Christians have traditionally used the Bible as a way for us to determine the how, which is a much different perspective than what Mormon leaders are going to give you.
I think you're exactly right on that, because when I trust in the Lord, that means I want to be faithful to what I know the Lord has revealed for me as one of His children. Now, I'm a child of God only because of my faith in Christ. Now, in Mormonism, when Dallin Oaks uses the phrase, and His love for His children, of course, in the context of Mormonism, they mean all of humankind, because they believe that all of us are the children of God, quite literally. Now, the Bible doesn't support that position, but that is a position of the LDS Church. But what I find fascinating in this article is he begins with a controversy that many Latter-day Saints, especially female Latter-day Saints, have when it comes to this teaching of being sealed to more than one wife in eternity. And that's where his whole talk starts, which is quite telling if you ask me. But before I get ahead of myself, let's read that first paragraph.
He said, "My dear brothers and sisters, a letter I received some time ago introduces the subject of my talk. The writer was contemplating a temple marriage to a man whose eternal companion had died. She would be a second wife. She asked this question, would she be able to have her own house in the next life, or would she have to live with her husband and his first wife? I just told her to trust the Lord."
Okay, folks, did you catch what he's saying here? He's not denying that this is a definite problem, especially for many Latter-day Saint women, that if a man is married to a woman for eternity, and that woman dies, and he finds another wife who has not been sealed to another man for eternity, that individual man can be sealed to this second wife for eternity as well in a Mormon temple. What does that mean? Well, this lady apparently understands clearly what that means. It means that the second wife is going to have to share her husband with that first wife. Now, Dallin Oaks should clearly understand this arrangement because he is sealed to two women. He was married to June Dixon. She passed away. And then later on, Dallin Oaks married Kristen Maines, who was not sealed to another man prior to her sealing to Dallin Oaks. So Dallin Oaks is going to have two wives in the hereafter. You can almost imagine maybe this is Kristen asking the question, am I going to have to share a house with not only my husband, but also his first wife? Well, there's really not a lot of details when it comes to this doctrine, but here's what's fascinating to me. And did you catch this as well, Eric? When he responded to the woman who writes this letter, I just told her to trust the Lord.
Doesn't that just seem like a blow off? That basically, that was not a question I need to answer, and I'm not going to answer it.
I think that is exactly what Dallin Oaks did. Now, he doesn't stop there. In the second paragraph, you're going to hear another example of someone who has this kind of anguish regarding the next life. What does he say in the second paragraph?
I continue with an experience I heard from a valued associate, which I share with his permission. After the death of his beloved wife and the mother of his children, a father remarried. Some grown children strongly objected to the remarriage and sought the counsel of a close relative who was a respected church leader. After hearing the reasons for their objections, which focused on conditions and relationships in the spirit world or in the kingdoms of glory that follow the final judgment, this leader said, quote, "You are worried about the wrong things. You should be worried about whether you will get to those places. Concentrate on that. If you get there, all of it will be more wonderful than you can imagine," end quote.
Now, what's fascinating to me is the next line where Dallin Oaks says, "What a comforting teaching!" Exclamation point. Trust in the Lord! Exclamation point. Let me ask you, Eric, if you were the children of this woman, would you have been comforted by that kind of an answer?
No, and the reason why is because this is supposed to be a church leader who has access to be able to tell me the way it should be. And yet, nowhere in the Book of Mormon, in the Bible, in the other standard works, does it ever talk about this. So a lot of what the next life is going to be about certainly is left open to speculation. But if you have a restoration, and if you have leaders who are put there by God to help us to be able to know where we're going to go, you would think there'd be a little bit more than just don't even worry about it, it's going to be better. That's no better than what many Protestants are saying and get criticized by Latter-day Saints when they say, well, you know, we're not sure exactly what heaven is going to be like, but we know it's going to be wonderful. And we get criticized because we don't have a more specific idea of what heaven will be. And so many Latter-day Saints think we're talking about sitting on a cloud and strumming a harp. We're not talking about that at all, but they're the ones who are supposed to know, where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? The church has made very clear they have the answers to these things. And yet, these are two issues that Latter-day Saints are concerned about. Otherwise, Mr. Oaks would not have brought these up. And he doesn't have answers for either one of these two.
And yet, it's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that has put this kind of anxiousness in the hearts of these individuals being talked about here by Dallin Oaks, because of their quote-unquote speculation as to what the hereafter is going to be like for those who are sealed to more than one wife. You would think that it would not be all that different than what plural marriage looked like in the 19th century. Now, in that case, some women, they lived in the same house. Some plural wives lived in a different house. And I'm sure that's probably the genesis of the question in the first paragraph. She's wondering, what's going to be my arrangements? But it sounds still that she's not too anxious about sharing her husband with another woman.
And I don't blame her, would you?
I don't blame her at all, but see, that's a problem that the church itself has made for itself based on this doctrine, which certainly is not found in the Bible. And you would think if you're going to have a doctrine like that, at least have some answers to comfort these individuals who come to you with these kind of questions. Don't just blow them off by saying, well, just trust the Lord. Or if you get there, all of it will be more wonderful than you can imagine. How do you know? Because based on the information this person has now, it's not causing them a bunch of wonderful feelings. And how are they going to assume it's going to be more wonderful than they can imagine?
Regarding that first case, Bill, this woman who's wondering if she's going to be in her own house, doesn't the Bible talk about a place where there would be many rooms? And wasn't that something that perhaps Oakes could have comforted her and said, well, there's going to be this place where you will have your own room? But he doesn't even bring this up.
I think the reason why he probably doesn't bring it up, because I don't think that answer would have been comforting at all. Yeah, you're talking about the passage where in the King James it says, in my house there are many mansions. We know from the Greek it means many rooms. So you would think that if Oakes was familiar with that passage, he could have said, well, you know, it does say that in the next life, the Lord has a place that has many rooms. So obviously, it would seem like you would probably be in one of those rooms. Would it be next door? It doesn't say anything about that because it doesn't teach this. It doesn't teach anything about being married throughout time and eternity, especially with multiple women.
But wouldn't you think that he knows definitively that they're going to be in the same realm? Oakes will be with his two wives and other women that will be added on, just like all Latter-day Saints hope to, if they get to the celestial kingdom. They're not going to be in separate worlds. They're going to be in the same realm. So I would think that honesty would have him say, well, this is what I know. And especially since he is a very important person in this church, you would think that he would have the authority to be a little more definitive than to brushing somebody off like this.
I guess that's what bothers me about these answers, because they are not comforting answers at all. If it was me asking those questions, I would walk away from this alleged conversation or from the answer that he gives, probably being just as upset or having just as much angst as I had before this conversation began. He doesn't answer it, and I think it's because he knows the answer probably will not be comforting. Well, sometimes to not get an answer isn't any more comforting than getting the right answer, because now you're going to have to speculate on what does this mean. He's going to be chiding Latter-day Saints for doing just that. Don't go imagining details that have never been truly or definitively discussed. But yet, he just pushed these people, by his examples, these people were pushed into that very area of speculating and wondering, well, what is it going to be like for me in the next life? And if these individuals have these kind of concerns, my question would be, is that really going to be a heavenly realm for them? How is that going to be something that they are going to find to be more wonderful than they can imagine, which is one of the answers given in the second example that he gives here? We're going to continue looking at Dallin Oakes' sermon, Trust in the Lord, because there's a lot of things in this message that I find not only confusing, but even a bit discomforting. And so in tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to continue looking at this message, Trust in the Lord.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.